Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org. All right. Welcome to Responding with Hope, our second podcast. We are here today with Juanita Graham, and she's the Director of Outreach with us at Avalon Center. And I just want to welcome you. Thank you for taking the time to do this. And I wanted to start out by you telling us how you got into working with survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault.
Good morning, Leslie. It is good to be with you today. Well, I got started quite a while back. I was a counselor that worked with substance abuse clients at the beginning. And I kept finding as I was working with clients that a lot of them were dealing with domestic and sexual violence. And that seemed to be the root cause of them getting into using substances, trying to numb some of their pain. And so it felt like I was only trying to take care of the symptoms without getting to the root. So I shifted to work with survivors of domestic and sexual assault because that seemed to be the root cause for many of the people that I was working with before. And I thought, well, let's snap it at the root.
Yeah. So you've been with Avalon for a long time. Gosh, how long have you been with Avalon, and when did you start this journey?
I started with Avalon in 2003. Wow. So it's been a long journey, and it's been a rewarding journey though.
Yeah, it's been I know I was hoping that you would tell the story, because that's my favorite story that you tell about how you got into working with survivors. And today's topic is a little uncomfortable. But it needs to be talked about. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. Sometimes those things that are uncomfortable are sometimes the things that need to be addressed so healing can happen.
Yeah. So today's topic is men and the trauma of sexual assault or childhood sexual assault. And I know that you have some statistics on men that cope with sexual assault. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I'll give a couple, but I will also give a caveat to those. Most of the time you will find that it's listed that 1 in 20 boys is a victim of child sexual abuse.
Wow.
And that's totally underrated because that is a crime that is so underreported. And if you look in other statistics, it'll probably show you that there are at least 1 in 6 men have experienced sexual abuse, whether in childhood or as an adult. So even with the numbers for men and or boys who have been victims, the number is usually not as high as it is probably happening, because they tend not to report as much.
So why do you feel that way? Why do you feel like men are underreported?
Well, it's actually sexual assault across the board is one of the most underreported regardless. But a lot of that has to do with shame. A lot of that has to do with keeping family secrets, because often that is that sexual abuse takes the form of incest. Mm-hmm. Often it is not knowing where to go or who to talk to, or they've talked to someone and they didn't believe them, so they've shut down and they don't want to talk to anybody else anymore.
Yeah, it's like we said, this is a tough topic, but you're right. It we kind of see across the board that shame for men is something that makes it difficult. When you're dealing with the survivors of sexual assault, especially with men, what do you see as the typical abuser, or is there not a typical abuser?
Well, I would say there's probably not a typical abuser. Simply because anyone can be a perpetrator of sexual violence. But you find that often there is an incestuous situation that is taking place. So it could be a parent or a caregiver, guardian, cousin, uncle, aunt, nephew. So it is a situation where there's a family component involved, but it could just as well be a leader of a group that they're in, or a coach, or someone at their church. It could be anyone, teachers. So it does vary. So there's not necessarily a typical abuser.
Right. Well, and so recognizing the signs and recognizing the ways that survivors deal with trauma of childhood sexual assault is important. And so can you talk about that? Can you talk of some of the ways that survivors deal with this and cope, and coping mechanisms that they develop?
I can, but I guess I'll start with trying to set the picture of what happens when someone has been sexually assaulted, and then you can maybe better understand why they develop some of those skills that they develop to survive.
Yes.
When someone is sexually assaulted, it impacts their self-esteem, their body, how they relate in their relationships, their spirituality, their sexuality. It impacts their feelings, their ability to be intimate. And if you can think about the little spirals that you see sometimes when people are drawing the spirals and the circles all interlink, if you interlink all of those issues that come up because of the sexual violence, that when you're pulling on one, say you're pulling on their self-esteem, then it's pulling the other one, and it's pulling the other one. So all of those things get tied in together. And so they are trying to come up with some coping skills to survive having all of those parts that are being impacted that are linked together.
Wow.
So sometimes dissociation is a part of that. I just need to check out because I can't process the world and what's happening around me. Often if there's prolonged sexual assaults happening, the person will dissociate in the middle of the act of being assaulted just so that they can survive. Or they'll have, maybe they'll be real standoffish. They don't want to get connected to anyone because that level of intimacy is scary for them. They may use substances to numb the pain because that's something that just kind of takes them out of the moment where all of the hurt is. Sometimes they do cutting. There's sometimes eating disorders that are the survival skills that they use. And that just tries to give them a sense of control back in their life. And while people will say, well, those aren't great survival skills, they're not healthy ones, but they are the ones that they've been able to use to kind of put some, boundaries around their world. And then we hope to be able to help them learn some healthier ones to take those and put them over to the side, because that's what helped them in that moment. But if they're out of the moment, then we try to help them come up with some different ones that'll make it easier for them when they're not in the ongoing sexual violence situation.
Yeah. Man, so there's got to be some complexities when you're dealing with men versus women. And can we talk about that? Can we talk about some of the complexities with males and their coping mechanisms?
Absolutely. With the males that I have worked with, some of the bigger pieces have to deal with some of our social norms that impacts their ability to be able to process what's happened to them. Some of the social norms deal with men are socialized to believe that sex is good. Any sex is good. To get any sex is a good thing, or that they are weaklings if they don't ward off someone who's trying to hurt them or harm them. They have a harder time seeing themselves as victims. So understanding that they've been victimized is harder because we kind of socially normalize that men aren't victims.
Right.
other parts deal with, depends on who their abuser is. Sometimes the abuser is the mother, and then that creates a very difficult dynamic for them to process through, and how they respond to their mom, how they respond to other women in their life, the complexities of just biology, because sometimes they're going to experience, say, a physical response to the assault, and they're like, well, I responded to it. Did that mean I wanted it? And we talk about, no, that doesn't mean you wanted it. It means your body biologically did what it does. So they really wrestle with that and shame of not being able to maybe stop it or take care of themselves. So those are a lot of things that get woven into that. And then you also, they question about their sexual identity and their orientation. Questions like, well, did they approach me because they thought I was, or am I because of this? They have lots of questions that deal with that as well.
Yeah. Well, when we're talking about childhood trauma, especially with men, what can counseling do to sort of help a survivor get better? To deal with these horrible, the history there?
Well, part of what I mentioned before is helping them to come up with some healthier coping skills. But before we get to that part, we actually just help them understand what trauma is and how it impacts a person. Because sometimes they just haven't been made aware of the fact that this is what trauma can do. Mm-hmm. So they've been dealing with the impacts of it, but thinking it's a part of their personality, or thinking that it's X or Y, and not realizing this is the trauma that's happening to me, and this is what I need to be able to do to deal with it. So helping them understand what trauma is and the impact that it has on people in various different ways based on their background and their things that they have experienced. Mm-hmm. Then we also help them to establish some healthier survival skills, coping skills, to be able to process their world in a healthier way. We often talk about relationships because many are dealing with some relationship issues because it's difficult for them to foster intimacy because that's a scary place for them. Mm-hmm. So we address a lot of different things and trying to help them understand some of the symptoms that they have dealt with. What does that dissociation part mean? Why do I check out sometimes? And so just helping them understand what that means, what the total impact has been, and how they are strong because they're still here, giving them that empowerment and that ability to learn how to self-care and take care of themselves, because they're still here, and that means they're still here and have a purpose, and helping them to see that. And the other thing, I guess, would be helping them to deal with the shame. So much shame gets wrapped up into sexual violence. I shouldn't have been there, if it wouldn't have happened, or what if I had done, or they did this and, oh God, everybody's going to think I'm awful. So a lot of shame gets involved with that. So we try to help them process how not to walk in that shame, to let that go.
I imagine it is truly, and you say this a lot, I imagine it's truly carefully peeling back an onion. I would, you know, we think about sexual trauma, and it usually associates women. And so when you bring in that extra dynamic with talking about men, you're right, there's a lot of social pressure for a man. So I can 100% see how this could go down. But let's talk about that, kind of moving into that, and the Me Too movement for better or for worse, what do you think that the effects of males that have suffered from childhood sexual assault, what do you feel that the Me Too movement has done for them?
I think in some ways it's been helpful for some because I think the Me Too movement has allowed some people to understand why it takes a while for sometimes survivors to come out and talk, so they can appreciate that there has been so much that's been happening that they have paused and they haven't come out and talked about it because of X, Y, Z, A, B, C. So I think that is a greater understanding for people. And I think that has freed some survivors to in turn come out and talk, to include males. So it's okay that I haven't talked about it up until now. And there might actually be reasons as to why I haven't talked about it until now. So it I think in some ways may have freed them up to have that discussion. But I think in some ways it may have also hindered some. The kind of the push with the Me Too has been a lot about women. And some may feel a little intimidated by coming out in such a way because this focus has been a lot about women. So I guess it could be a double-edged sword in helping some feel freer to talk and then making some others pause and not necessarily speak out.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I often wonder how that would affect the men that want to come forward. But we had a survivor that came forward and wanted to talk about it. And we have some clips from his interview. This gentleman, I don't know if you want to say anything about him. He was incredibly brave to come out and tell his story. And I think his story will help a lot of people. So we have a few clips that I'm going to get on.
I had been to several out-of-state trips doing training and things like that at gyms that had equipment and resources that we didn't have at my gym. On one of those trips, he sexually assaulted me. When it happened, I really just froze. I didn't know what to do. After I was assaulted, he held my hand and he looked at me and he said, "Are we still friends?" And so he victimized me, and then he made me tell him that we were still friends. That is the cruelest thing that one could do. Therapy's been great for me, and I actually participate in individual counseling as well as group. A lot of the resources that I've received here, you know, point out ways that we deal with trauma, and I thought they were just my personality. Isolating myself, numbing myself to my emotions. When I started to read these lists of characteristics that I thought were just who I was as a person, I started to realize these are actually coping strategies that I've built up over time. I couldn't have come to those realizations, I don't think, without talking through what had happened and thinking through that and you know, receiving counseling and therapy. But they don't come forward immediately. It's not because they contributed to, you know, how they became a victim, but really it's about creating your own self-doubt, living with stories in your head that really aren't very realistic. I honestly don't think I would have come to therapy and received services if there were a cost. That sort of speaks to the idea of what a victim's mentality is. Am I worth it? Is it worth it? Should I just deal with this? Should I just cope with what I've got? I've been doing this for decades. Why would I go and get help now? And I would say, question those thoughts deeply and think about what are the possibilities?
So this gentleman hit every point that you were discussing earlier, down to the, just because you don't come forward when it happens doesn't mean, you know, it just, yeah, he hit every single point that we've been talking about.
And part of people coming in and talking about it is that realization that they're not alone in some of the things they've been feeling and how they've processed it and thought about it. And that's helpful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the positive side. Avalon Center, we offer services to men. And I know when I give presentations, a lot of people will say, do you service men? And we do. And so I was going to let you talk about that a bit.
We do. Through our outreach office, we have individual counseling that we offer for males, as well as we have a male group that meets that is dealing with sexual violence. Most of them have been sexually assaulted as a child. So that is kind of the focus of that group. But we want people to know that it doesn't matter. Assault is assault, and the impact impacts people at deep and multiple levels. And we just want to be there to help them to process and be able to move forward if they are able to do that. And part of that is we're going to believe the person when they walk in the door. For some, it gets scary and they may not continue in their counseling all the way straight through. But that first initial person listening and believing them is a big piece and part of recovery. And then they may circle back and finish some of their work later, because healing never happens in a straight line. But it helps them to be able to be aware that somebody out there understands and will listen and will believe them.
And that, to me, is the best thing. And I also think it's important to note that none of our services cost a dime. And that's a big thing for on many levels, not just the financial level, but to be able to come and not only not have to pay for these services, but also 100% confidentiality. You become an initial once you come in, and this is something that's especially important when you're dealing with men and getting them to that first step.
Absolutely. There is a level of comfort that comes with you're going to listen, and then you're not going to tell everybody else.
Right.
Because if they've run into that, that's a big fear for them. So we hope that would not stop somebody. The harms of sexual abuse, they cross over the lines of gender, race, religion, age, nationality, socioeconomic class. It crosses everything. No one is necessarily immune. So we want people to know that our door is open for anyone who has experienced sexual, domestic violence, stalking, because it's a safe place for you to come and be able to deal with what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, furthermore, the pandemic has kind of created another unique opportunity for us as far as confidentiality. So kind of talk about that, if you would, a little bit. As everybody in the pandemic, we've learned to adapt. That's what we do. And so we have a new way to be able to get counseling.
Absolutely. We are offering counseling remotely currently, and it was something that we will continue to do even once we get above and beyond the pandemic. Telehealth is something that's fast taking root in our society. So virtual counseling is a part of that. So we can do virtual. We do offer phone sessions. And then as well, once everything is lifted with the pandemic, we will resume with in-person as well. So it makes it a little easier for people that might need different hours or different place to be or scared to show their face just yet. It opens up a lot of more opportunities, yes.
And I think that's wonderful. And so basically, what does, if we have a survivor that is listening to this podcast and says, you know what, gosh, a lot of pieces in my life make sense right now, and I want to talk to somebody, what's the best way for them to get started?
Well, depending on which services they need, we do have wraparound services for survivors. If there is a need for an emergency sheltering situation, we do ask that people call our helpline at 757-258-5051. That is the number you will call, and they will talk with you, do a screening, and proceed forward as appropriate. But also, if you want counseling, you can call the helpline, or you can call the main number at 757-258-5022. And what will happen is your name and number will be taken down, and it will be given to a counselor to reach out to you to establish what services you might want and what your schedule is like and how we can be able to facilitate making sessions happen.
Great. And also, we threw out a lot of phone numbers. A way that you can get all of this information is to go to our website, which is avaloncenter.org. There is a messaging app there if you're more comfortable. But all of these services are on our website, and we're here. We're going to respond to you. We're going to believe you. And absolute judgment-free zone. We're here to help you, and that's what we're doing. And Juanita, you've been integral in this, and I have enjoyed my time with you today. As always, I enjoy my time with you, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I just ask for anyone who's listening, if you know someone who's been sexually assaulted, share the podcast with them so that they can hear the information and give them space to make their own decisions and come in and work with things as they're ready. But just give them the information, and if they come in, we'll help them on that journey. It's what we do. Yeah. We respond.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Juanita. I hope you have a wonderful day, and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Avalon Center's podcast, Responding with Hope, is paid for by the Department of Social Services. Avalon Center offers emergency shelter, individual and group counseling, and much more to survivors of domestic and sexual assault. If you need help, call our 24-hour hotline at 833-537-0970 or visit us at avaloncenter.org.